This Wednesday, X-Men 97 will premiere on Disney+. The show is notable for a wide range of reasons, besides the firing of its creator and executive producer, which I am not going to talk about. Mostly because there isn't much to say at the moment. Not only is it a continuation of the classic 90s X-Men animated series, but also the first new X-Men animated series in over a decade, and their first appearance under Disney ownership. Obviously, there have been other X-Men animated series besides the 90s series, and we'll get to them in a minute, but this is the first time the X-Men have been used in anything since 2020's The New Mutants, not counting Professor X in that Doctor Strange sequel. When it came to The New Mutants, that film served as the abrupt conclusion to the long-running X-Men film saga from 20th Century Fox, one that pretty much got screwed over by two film studios, multiple delays, and COVID. Believe it or not, the pandemic was the least of that film's concerns. Bringing it back to X-Men 97, the show will be a continuation of the 90s X-Men animated series. But before I can get to that, I have to bring up the original series. The early 90s were a time of change in the world of animation, especially Saturday morning, with Fox serving to bring up slightly edgier content, not just with animated series like The Simpsons or Beverly Hills 90210, but also their Saturday morning programming. It included shows like Animaniacs, Batman the Animated Series, and of course X-Men. Both that show and Batman changed the way superhero shows could be. Rather than just be some wacky adventure where the good guy always won and nothing changed, they were able to get away with a lot more drama and were relatively darker compared to what came beforehand. Now, while Batman the Animated Series went for a film noir tone that was a big cross between the 1930s and 90s, X-Men was blatantly set in the 90s, right down to Cyclops using the ironic "not." The 90s X-Men series had a team featuring characters who would mostly go on to star in the subsequent film franchise. It consisted of Cyclops, Wolverine, Storm, Beast, Gambit, Jubilee, Jean Grey, and their leader, Professor X, aka Charles Xavier. Now obviously of all those characters, the only one that really didn't show up as much was Gambit, but that's a whole other story. The show went on to air for 5 seasons and 76 episodes. As for how I began watching the show, I did not watch it when it first began in 1992, mostly because I was barely a year old. I would not start watching it until 2000, 4 years after it had originally ended. Back in the year 2000, I was fascinated by the first X-Men film and wanted to see more stuff with the team. Coincidentally, 20th Century Fox's then sister network Fox began airing reruns of the 90s show on weekdays, back when they had weekday kids programming. Nowadays, it's just nothing but cheap and forgettable court shows. I was immediately hooked on it, and I did my best to try and watch it whenever it was on. When Fox did stop airing it, either due to a certain new X-Men series airing on another network, or having sold off the rights to their kids programming to Disney, I honestly don't know, I was really disappointed. However, a while later, I was relieved to find out Disney began airing the show over on Toon Disney, nowadays known as that forgotten cable channel Disney XD. Even when I had a chance to watch that other X-Men show, X-Men Evolution, which originally aired on Kids WB but would occasionally air on Cartoon Network, I still went back to the older one. My enjoyment of the 90s show has definitely caught in my interest in both that show and the most recent animated series, Wolverine and the X-Men. I've watched some episodes of both shows, but neither can exactly hold a candle to the original. To briefly sum them up, X-Men Evolution is okay, it has decent voice acting, and putting the characters in high school makes sense in a way, but the character designs made everyone look like stick figures. Meanwhile, Wolverine in the X-Men has good animation, but the voice acting is a mixed bag and suffers from the same problem as the film series by focusing far too much on the titular hero than the rest of the team. Coincidentally, both also suffer from having been prematurely cancelled, although the former did at least get some type of ending. Is the 90s X-Men animated series perfect? No. That might sound crazy after what I just said, but the show does have flaws, mostly in its animation. I remember looking up decades ago online on some probably long-defunct website from GeoCities and being shocked at the wide range of animation errors and the alterations they had to make for the show even after it began airing. For example, there's this one episode called No Mutant is an Island that has two radically different art styles. I've actually watched this episode on both DVD and Disney Plus, and of the two, the one on Disney Plus has the weaker animation, where if you're watching it in order, it just looks really off compared to the rest of the episodes around it. It was supposed to air in season 3, but for some reason, the animation problem was so bad, it didn't air until 3 years later. And it's just crazy because this show was serialized, and yet they aired this episode out of order long after the narrative had ended. And that's all I'll say about that because it's a long story and I don't want to spoil anything about the show, even though I will in just a few minutes. There was also the occasional casting change. Storm, for example, was recast early in season 2, and Fox chose to redub the first season, except for the first episode. The reason that sounds weird? The show's first episode ran for 2 parts, so if you were watching these episodes back to back, you'd get some whiplash by hearing how Storm goes from sounding calm and patient to suddenly hyper-dramatic! Thankfully, this is one case where the animation is not a detriment to the overall product. The story, action, and voice acting help make up for that. It is especially helpful during the show's final episodes, which have a radically different look because apparently, from what I've looked up, and that was mostly just old websites and Wikipedia, unfortunately, the show's original animation studio either declared bankruptcy, shut down, or both, and Saban, who was producing the show, had to apparently either do it themselves or hire another company that basically redesigned all the characters in its final season. So, if you were to watch any of those episodes early on, you'd be confused as to why everyone looks a little off. If I had to bring up my favorite episode, it would be Bloodlines from Season 4. The episode is a culmination of a handful of storylines, such as the origins of the blue shapeshifter Nightcrawler and mutant hater Graydon Creed. Without giving a lot away, let's just say it involves a very messed up family, and the ending is pure poetic justice. The show in general did a great job adapting many memorable X-Men storylines, such as the Phoenix Saga, as well as villains like Magneto, Apocalypse, and Mr. Sinister. And if you've never heard of Mr. Sinister, well, that's a sad story involving the film franchise, but we're not gonna get there. Well, except for Apocalypse. In the case of Apocalypse, I can happily say that the show did a much better job than the film X-Men Apocalypse ever did. For starters, he wasn't some Ivan Ooze knockoff who spoke in a throaty manner, but instead a giant imposing menace with a Shakespearean accent. He also had a lot of great lines in the show where he boasted about his strength. One of my favorites is when he tells the X-Men while they're trying to stop him that they are as close to defeating him as the Babylonians were with swords and torches. As for the Phoenix Saga, it is concise to say the show did a far better job of adapting the storylines than the film series ever did. Something else worth acknowledging about the show is his sister show, Spider-Man the Animated Series. Now that show's a whole other story, but when it comes to the X-Men, they had a two-part crossover on that show where Spider-Man visited the team as part of their overarching narrative. They are a fun set of episodes that can't be enjoyed without having seen the rest of Spider-Man the Animated Series, although it does leave a lot for anyone new to check out. When it comes to X-Men 97, I am excited to see what Marvel can do with the team after all these years. From what has come out, it will be set right after the events of the original show's final episode. There are other changes to note in 97, such as Bishop now being in the present day, Magneto apparently taking over the X-Men, and Morph. All I will say about Morph is that I find their bland, wide expression from the comics goofy, but then again, I also found their design from the original 90s show to be very forgettable. But I really liked them as a character. I really enjoyed the dynamic they had with Wolverine in the original show, and I really hope 97 expands upon that. Unless they're killed off again in the first episode. I'm excited to hear a lot of the original voice cast reprise their roles, such as Cal Dodd as Wolverine, Lenore Zahn as Rogue, and George Buzza as Beast. Fun fact, Buzza cameoed in the first X-Men film as the truck driver who gives Rogue a ride. Some of the roles have been recast, either due to the original voice actors having retired, a scheduling conflict, or sadly passing away. In the latter case, that includes Norm Spencer and David Hemblem, who originally voiced Cyclops and Magneto, respectively. It will be sad to know they never got to work on the revival, and they will be deeply missed. I am very hopeful about the new voice actors taking over their roles, Ray Chase as Cyclops and Matthew Watterson as Magneto. Based solely on the trailer, both do a fantastic job recreating their predecessors' take on these characters, and I am eager to see more of their respective performances. Despite the short episode count, the standard 10 for a single season of a streaming series, I am excited to see where the show will take the X-Men. Also, because I hope it can convince Disney to potentially greenlight a continuation of Spider-Man the Animated Series to finally resolve that show's cliffhanger, but again, a story for another day. X-Men 97 premieres this Wednesday, March 20th on Disney+. The 90s X-Men series is also available to stream on Disney+, as well as own on DVD and digital.